As you probably noticed, summer has officially started with the end of school, right? That's really what we were kind of celebrating, especially in times with Canada Day there. And for most families, it's just the time to fill the days with endless activities to ensure that kids don't get, and join me in the word, the B word. What is that word? Bored! They don't want to get bored. And I'm sure most of us who've had children at different stages, whether currently or as grandparents, we can definitely understand what this feels like to try and keep our young ones occupied. So for me, my mom had the ingenious idea to give me a model kit, as you can see on the screen there. And how many of us here built models as a kid? Some of us? Okay. Well, I hope you were definitely more successful than I was. You see, I unfortunately for my mom and for me, I guess, I actually did not have the personality to build model kits. But I remember the feeling of receiving this kit and ripping off the cellophane and then eagerly, removing the plastic cutouts, as you can see, that are parts of the kit. And then, you know, I know this sounds strange, but to take in that new plastic smell, I know, so it feels weird. And this would be met with eager anticipation that this was a time where I would actually finish building this model, because unfortunately, I never did finish building these models. And I say that because, again, my personality was such that I just didn't really enjoy them. I lacked the patience, and I was too much of a perfectionist. So as soon as something didn't fit, or I painted it wrong, I just kind of gave up, and that was it. But I did like receiving something new, as well as the feeling of something starting something new. And hopefully in this season of summer, that perhaps you may have started a new thing. In fact, what new thing have you recently started? Well, in the life of Killarney Park, we have started something new by engaging in a revitalization initiative with City to City Australia. And I know it's hard to believe that here we are now in July, and this all began a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away in January. And a lot has happened since January. We've had initial meetings with the City to City Australia consultants. We've completed our surveys and interviews, which were met with high participation. So thank you. Thank you, Killarney Park. Without your participation, we wouldn't have had the data. This data was then assessed. It was then produced into a report with list of recommendations. And then it was just last weekend. You know, I can't believe it. It was just last weekend that we then met again with Andrew Katte, our consultant, for our revision workshop with the board and council members. And during this workshop, Andrew helped us to develop a long-term vision for Killarney Park with four stages. No, we are not moving to the Bahamas, okay? If you thought we were transitioning and moving to someplace sunny, actually, why don't we move to someplace sunny? Like, yeah, that would be a great place to have church, right? Okay, no. The picture is an illustration of what would be our next stages. And essentially, there are four stages. And it begins with looking beyond the horizon. So as you can see in the picture, you know, as you look out into the ocean, there is that line beyond the horizon. And that's a kind of a 10-year plan that we're working on. It's an aspirational picture of what we hope to be. The next stage, or the stage before that is, and I'm sorry you can't read the words very well, it says it's the background vision. So that's kind of where the building is. You can kind of see the building. And this gives us the four big ideas that clarify the strategic vision of the beyond the horizon vision. the stage before that is the mid-ground vision. So basically something we can see that's within grasp, which is a year. It's an inspirational direction with an achievable goal. And then foreground, which is right in front of us right now, in the next 90 days, we're going to be introducing four specific initiatives to start with. So these are things to kind of just get us going as we move into this next season of the life of the church. Come September, once we do have the wording all right, the board will present this four-year vision. Now, I know when you look at this, you think, wow, this looks really, really pragmatic, doesn't it? But the Bible does say in Proverbs 29, verse 18, when there is no vision, the people perish. This is the King James Version translation. In our modern translation, it reads more like, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And this would be Eugene Peterson's message. We certainly don't want to be people who stumble all over ourselves. However, I think while we're engaged in the revitalization process, may we also not become over-reliant on our intellect and our human ingenuity, but be people of God who experience God's revitalization in us first. And so over the course of these next few sermons, I'm going to be inviting us to start something new, or more effectively, to allow God to start something new in your life. And that is to allow yourself to be revitalized by God as He revitalizes us as the body of Christ here at 48th and Kerr. Now, there are many words that are synonymous with revitalize. And these words help to describe the other word, newness. So other words for revitalize are refresh, revive, restore. Well, in our passage today, it also gives us or takes on another word, which is redeem, because the nation of Israel was spiritually dead. Isaiah chapter 42 ends with God's sorrow over the spiritual decay of his people. But this is not the end of the story. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 13, and if you look in your Bibles, it will be often entitled Israel's Only Savior. God speaks directly to his people, Israel, reminding them, just as the song that Chris led us in this reminder, remember us that we are your children, that he created them, formed them, and redeemed them. He tells them not to fear in verse 1, because he has called them by name. They belong to him. No matter what dangers they face, whether it be waters, rivers, fire, God promises to be with them and protect them. He declares his deep love for Israel, even stating he will give other nations in exchange for their freedom. God reaffirms that Israel is his chosen witness in verse 10 to the world. He alone is God. There was no God before him, and there will be none after. He alone saves, acts, and speaks with authority. No one can undo what he does, in verse 13. Now, the context of this passage of Isaiah 43 is that Israel, and specifically Judah, because at this point there's two parts of Israel. We have Israel and Judah. And they have been conquered by the Babylonians. And many Israelites were taken into exile. They faced despair, identity loss, and questioned whether God had abandoned them. And this passage, God reminds them that he had freed them from Egyptian slavery, and he will free them again. So then we move into verses 14 and on. And this recalls the miracles of the parting of the Red Sea in verses 6 through 17. Like the Egyptians, the Babylonians who were conquerors at the time would end up themselves being conquered. For it is the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's creator and king, who is sovereign over all, including nations. And we covered this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about submission to God's authority, and in that in all nations on earth are all in submission to God's authority. Furthermore, the recollection of the Exodus from Egypt inspires Israel to remember how Yahweh formally accomplished their salvation with great power. He has saved them once, he will save them again. And while God helps Israel to recall his mighty works, and then that he has not forgotten them, he also instructs the exiles to stop dwelling on the past. And we see this in verse 18. Especially to stop dwelling on their punishment. They viewed the exile as a punishment. And furthermore, to not yearn for the former days of Israel's power, this golden age that of David that they desperately desired to return to. But rather, that attention should now be focused on God and his miraculous redemption. Of course, we having the benefit of time, we recognize in Isaiah's book, prophecies of the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, who would be their Savior, their redemption, not just for the Israelites, but also for the world. We may not think of it this way, but a baby born to a virgin was a new thing. Angels breaking through the sky at his birth was a new thing. An astonishingly bright star leading wise men and shepherds to a baby's humble birth. New things! Ultimately, the coming of Jesus to earth is the new thing that Isaiah's prophetic words point to. You know, it's hardly surprising that we as humans, we like new things and new experiences. After all, we're all created in God's image. And he is the God of new beginnings and likes doing new things. It's all over creation. He designed our bodies always to produce new cells, new hair. We're always experiencing new days, years, and seasons. Our human desire for the next new thing, and as you can see here, this is the latest version of the iPhone. And of course, my question is, how many iPhones do we really need every single year? And we recognize that desiring this, the next new thing, has produced enough problems of their own, with overconsumption at the risk of destroying our environment, or even seeking new experiences, often at the risk of our own lives. You know, once again, I heard on the radio a warning to folks as they travel out and enjoy the nature of BC, and reminding people that, you know, just because you see the social media posts of people jumping off cliffs into the rivers, or, you know, dangerously taking pictures off the side of a mountain, does not mean you need to jump into pools of water or hang off the side of cliffs without the proper gear because you want to have this new experience. And I thought that was a really neat advertising. But such a reality that in our social media world, that we desire to go to extremes at the risk of our own lives for these new experiences. Well, this is not what God is calling us to, but rather the context of our verses today is the call to the people of Israel, and really even a call to the people of God today, to embrace the new things God is doing, to let go of past opportunities and prepare for the new things ahead. When God is doing something new, it does sometimes require us to step into the unknown, which may feel uncomfortable, scary, and even unpleasant at first. just like the Israelites who had seen the miracle of God in separating the Red Sea, and now they were wandering in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. It definitely was uncomfortable. It definitely was scary. And we know it was unpleasant, so much so that the Israelites would complain to Moses and that they ought to return back to Egypt to be back again in bondage to... Are we okay? Hello? Oh, we're back. Okay. In bondage to Egypt. And perhaps that's something like we today in our, not us here today in Kalami Park, but just like the Israelites, perhaps when we experience something new, or when God calls us to do something new or to experience a new thing, we might be tempted to hold on to the life we know because we prefer comfort. We desire that everything be familiar. However, God calls us. God calls his people, the Israelites, as well as us today, that we need to let go of the old, trust God, and embrace what he is doing. Otherwise, we might miss out on all the good things God wants to do to us and through us. Now, of course, I'm not saying, and neither is God saying, that the past was bad. He's not saying, you know, that what we have experienced or what the Israelites experienced was bad. He just says, don't get stuck in it. There's something new on the horizon. Remember that picture? Remember that looking beyond the horizon? But it's not a recycled plan. It's not a secondhand hope. It's not another new iPhone, which is really just last year's iPhone with a new camera and a new chip. That's not how God works. He doesn't recycle old plans. But instead, he creates something new. You know, personally, I know in my own life, when I came to faith in Christ, that was a new thing for me. God did a new thing for me. And I'm sure in your own lives, you too have this history with God that is powerful. And it does not limit his power. God again showed up in other parts of my life that also allowed me to experience new things that he was doing, eventually leading me to a call to attend seminary and then to go to and become and serve as a pastor. That was truly not the vision for my life. That is truly something God showed me and gave me that call, and that he was doing this new thing in my life. And I'm sure in your own lives, you may have experienced this as well. But sometimes what happens is that when we have these new things that God has done in your life, we put a period at the end of it where God has placed a comma. He's not done yet. He does not give up on his people. He does not give up on faith communities like us today. He is not impatient, just like I was with building model kits. God will see it through to completion. God is always in the business of transforming lives. And many times we might feel stuck in our old ways or overwhelmed by our own circumstances. And yet, the Bible assures us that God can take our old selves and make us new again. We have this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We then become reflections of his glory, shining brightly through the transformation he brings about within us. Now, admittedly, in our walk of faith, there are times we feel weary and worn out. And during these moments, God promises to renew our strength. And with this renewal, we can rise above our difficulties and find hope in His plans. God desires to lift us, empower us, and rejuvenate our spirits to face new challenges and opportunities. Again, returning to Isaiah, but now in verse chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. 2 Corinthians again. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." With God, every single day is an opportunity for a fresh start. By embracing the truth of His Word today, we allow Him to work through our weaknesses and turn them into strengths. We learn to discard what holds us back and embrace what God is unveiling in our hearts. And through God's transformation, we can grow deeper in faith and wisdom. Isaiah 43, verses 14 to 19, is not just a historical word for Israel. It's a living word for us today. God is still redeeming. God is still making ways where there are none. And God is still creating life in wilderness places. Can we have a hallelujah? Hallelujah. So as I conclude my message this morning, let us ask ourselves today, am I so tied to my past, good or bad, that I can't see what God is doing now? Am I ready to perceive the new thing God is springing up in my life? May we leave today with our eyes open, hearts expectant, and faith alive, because God is doing a new thing. Amen.